Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio worship service on this first Sunday of Lent. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
When are we most apt to get serious about our relationship with God? Is it when everything is going well? Or is it during those days when things are kind of rough? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we realized how right old Solomon was when he said that there is a time for everything. There's a time to rejoice, and there's a time to cry. In those difficult hours, O Lord, help us to understand that our comfort, our strength, and our lasting peace comes through living in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In this holy season of Lent, grant that we may be drawn closer to the cross and be given a new appreciation of all that you have done, Lord Jesus, through your suffering, death, and resurrection, that we might be granted the forgiveness of our sins and assured that we are your children forevermore. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the place that is the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of the soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, this is the first Sunday in Lent. During these 40 days in Lent, we will have the marvelous opportunity to look a bit more soberly at the price Jesus paid for our salvation. The account of Jesus' suffering and death can be summarized in a very few words. For example, the early church fathers in the Apostles' Creed put it this way. He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, died, and buried. That's about 10 words. Later on at the Council of Nicaea, where the Christians were to give a statement of faith, they wrote what is known to us as the Nicene Creed. Here it says, "For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried." About 15 words. So you see, it is a very, very simple statement. Tells exactly what happened. And yet the truths are so tremendous that the biblical writers have given us a bit more of the details that surrounded the cross. And so during these Lenten Sundays, I'd like to center our thoughts on what really was going on at the foot of the cross. We are introduced to some very interesting people, and we see the reactions of each one of them as they are confronted with the message of Christ Jesus. Maybe it'll have something to say to you and me. One of these people who became very interesting, at least for me, and I'm sure for millions of others, was a person named Simon of Cyrene. We know that Cyrene was an important city in North Africa. It had a large Jewish population. Simon was one of those Jews who was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which many of you know as a Jewish festival. During the course of the time that he was there, he was forced to carry the cross of Christ. Kind of interesting. As we read the scriptures, we hear that Mark gives us as good a story as any, a good a definition. He says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Well, what can we make of this? It seems that Simon was right there when the procession was going through the streets of Jerusalem, taking Jesus on his way to the cross. And it was customary at that particular time that the prisoner carry his own cross, or at least one beam of it, and that weighed about 30 to 40 pounds. When Jesus got to the place where Simon was standing, observing all of this, he collapsed. That is understandable. He had had some very, very difficult hours. No sleep, a lot of torture, a lot of pain, beaten, spit upon, and called all kinds of names. He must have been emotionally and physically exhausted. So his strength gave way. And a Roman came over and said to Simon, "You there, we want you to carry the cross." There was no way that Simon could get out of that. For when a Roman soldier had spoken, you had better behave. It could well have been that when he started carrying that cross, that Simon was quite irritated. After all, it without a doubt was the first Passover that he had ever been in Jerusalem. And it was always the desire of some of the great people of the Jewish faith to get to Jerusalem to celebrate that Passover. Now he was there, and he had to waste some time by carrying the cross of one whom many called nothing more than a common criminal. But as Simon went on the way, he got attracted to that person by the name of Jesus. This person was quite different. He was a man who did not act like the other good religious people of his day. There's no question that he was under great pain. But he leaves himself and looking at his own being and all the difficulty that was going on within him. And he turned and looked to the foot of the cross where he saw his mother. There he made preparations for her in the days that were to come. I must be first concerned about my mother and not myself. Later on, he must have looked out over that cross, over that area where the cross was standing. There he saw a crowd of people, still shouting their hates, still showing how they wanted him crucified. I imagine that the average person would have really answered back in some profane way. But that was not true of Jesus. Rather, he lifted his eyes heavenward and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." A bit later, he looked to his side, and there he saw another prisoner who was being crucified. This man who had done some torturous sin, without a doubt. And a man said, "Jesus, will you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" And Jesus turned and gave him the assurance, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." All of this Simon was taking in. This person was different. Had he become a Christian by now? I doubt it. Christianity often does not come to a person that quickly, but he was certainly having the seed planted in his soul. And there is every reason for us to believe that when the days went by, Simon, because of his experience in carrying the cross of Christ and being with the Savior, came to be one of his followers. Now, how can we say that? Well, It is true that there is no particular portion of Scripture that turns and says that he was converted, like Paul was converted. We do not hear that Simon was converted. But the prominent biblical theologians say that you can piece enough of this together to come to the conclusion that this man became and was a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, let me give you some of the reasons why we come to that conclusion. Notice, here is one great biblical theologian by the name of Lenski. Lenski says that when Mark wrote his gospel, he said that Simon was the father of Rufus and Alexander. Let me quote now from his book. Although Rufus is a common name, we are safe in regarding this Rufus as one of the sons of Simon of Cyrene, a person who carried the cross of Christ. Mark wrote his gospel a few years after Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, which also appears in the New Testament. And in his letter to the Romans, he inserts that Simon was the father of Rufus and Alexander. It is very likely that Mark wrote the gospel in Rome for the Romans. He named Simon's son because the Romans knew them and had at least Rufus as one of their members. And so here in his book to the Romans, Paul greets Rufus and his mother. Simon the father must have died, and Alexander was either dead or lived in some other part of the world. So from that evidence, we can say that this Simon went home and became a Christian and then led his other members of the family to Jesus Christ. And a second theologian by the name of William Barclay says that it is his conviction that this Simon is the one referred to in the book of Acts as being one of the great teachers in the city of Antioch. Now, we believe that this is true, and why do I spend all of this time on trying to figure out whether or not Simon Cyrene became a Christian? Because if this be true, and I am thoroughly convinced on the basis of what the theologians have said interpreting God's holy word, that he was a Christian. Here is a dynamic, powerful story. It shows how the Holy Spirit can take a confrontation with Jesus and cause that person to become a follower of his. Notice, friend, you have to come face to face with Jesus. That's when the big decision, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is made. Now I'd like to ask you, when do we come to that place that we're serious about a decision for Christ? When do we really get serious about Jesus and our relationship with him? Is it when good things happen to us? Oh, I'm sure that sometimes has an effect. Sure, we're grateful for all that he has done to bless us in so many different ways. But would it perhaps not be more often when we are really distressed, when there are heartaches, when there are disappointments, when, symbolically speaking, we are carrying our cross? Then we come to the realization that all we thought was so precious to us suddenly begins to fail us. The joys do not come as once we thought they would. We can be very, very disappointed. For example, let's say that we believe that our material possessions would see us through. Now, that does not mean that we were wealthy people, but it meant that perhaps we have a good insurance program, we have a good pension program, we have Social Security and all the rest. And money is going to take care of us until we breathe our last breath. And then along the way, we discover that material wealth does not always buy everything that we need. Where do we turn then? When all of our possessions fail us, can we go any other place than to the cross of Christ? What about it when we have attained to all kinds of success in life? Everything is going along exactly as we want it. I have reached the top. Now where do I go from here? What do I turn then to get rid of my boredom? Can you find anything in this world that can really excite you when you have everything that you think that you need, including success? I suggest that you turn to the cross and listen to him. We're perhaps one of these people who say that I have lived to be an old person and I've never spent a day in the hospital. And then suddenly one day I have chest pains and they're running down my arms and I'm rushed off to the hospital and the cardiologist tells me it's time to have some bypass surgery. Now I find myself in the operating room and that health that once I believed was good for a long, long time, maybe until I got to be 85 or 90 years of age, like my father and mother were when they died, has failed me. Where do I turn? Maybe I have a spouse of 15 or 20 years, and we thought that everything was going along just fine. And suddenly he or she says, you know, I really don't want to be with you anymore. And the marriage comes to an end, and that marriage, which was to have been my security as long as I was on this earth, suddenly has gone. Maybe my children, who I cared for and loved, and I thought, well, they are truly going to be the ones that I can depend upon in old days, have become so busy with the affairs of their lives that they really don't have the time. To whom do I turn then? Well, worse than anything, maybe it's my own self. Maybe as I look over my life and I see what a mess I have made out of all, where do I turn? Where do I go? I'm sure that Simon of Cyrene would have said, as you carry the cross, look to Jesus. And this is what you will hear. You will hear him say, I forgive you, just like he forgave that mob. You'll hear him say, as he did to the robber, when these days are over, I have a place for you in the heavenly home. You will hear him say, come unto me and I will give you rest. When you're restless, I am the one to whom you can come with all of your cares. And you will hear him say, when you're bored and you don't know what to do with all of this retirement, you just come and I'll give you a new challenge in life. I tell you, people, if you're a Christian, turn back to Christ. And if you're not a Christian, in this Lenten season, why do you not receive him as your Savior and Lord? First then, there will be a peace in your soul that passes all understanding. And first then, you'll have a story to tell to the nation. Amen.
Things will come in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we pray in a very special way today for those who are burdened with the cares of life. We pray, O God, that if there be those who listen to us this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, and know not which way to turn, that they may open the Scriptures and listen to what you have to say. It is our prayer that they will hear your voice of pardon. I grant you forgiveness, your voice of comfort. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your voice of challenge, come and follow me. Hear our prayer, we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the music and message shared today will bring you closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit, listener-supported radio ministry. Many of our listeners are broadcast sponsors, which means they give a gift of $100. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. Each broadcast sponsor gift pays for one broadcast on one station for one Sunday. We thank our broadcast sponsors for their generosity, but gifts of all sizes are appreciated and used to share the gospel message. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.